Modern Love, the podcast, is supported by...
This podcast is supported by Cartier. In celebration of the Trinity Collection's 100th anniversary, Cartier shares testaments of love in all its forms from around the world. Please keep listening for today's love story later in this episode.
Produced by the iLab at WBUR Boston.
From the New York Times and WBUR Boston, this is Modern Love. Stories of love, loss, and redemption. I'm your host, Meghna Chakrabarty. This week's essayist, Lang Martin Jr., believes he lives a charmed life. But one night in Virginia, 25 years ago, that belief was tested. Lang writes about what happened that night and afterward in his essay. It's read by Nikolai Coster-Waldau. Nikolai has just been nominated for an Emmy Award for Outstanding Supporting Actor in a Drama Series for playing Jaime Lannister in Game of Thrones.
My wife and I were in a motel in Roanoke, Virginia, on our way home from 3 months at the Hershey Medical Center in Pennsylvania, where she had been recovering after being crippled in a car accident. It was our first night away from the skill and comfort of the nurses we had come to depend on, and so far so good. Then we woke up and smelled something. It smelled like a bowel movement. I lifted up the sheets. It was a bowel movement, and it was in our bed. We knew we had a lot to learn, but we had no idea how much. Hearing the word paraplegic had made us focus on the big thing, the fact that Linda could no longer walk. Less anticipated were the smaller humiliations and inconveniences, like bowel movements in bed or on the way to a party, sores that came out of nowhere and took months or years to heal, and inaccessible restroom stalls that caused Linda to have to catheterize herself in the public area where people were washing their hands and talking. And on it went, the list of indignities. She couldn't watch Good Morning America if the remote fell off the bed when she reached for her glasses. She wet the seat on airplanes and in friends' cars. She could no longer feel sexual intercourse, and the powerful muscle spasms in her legs threatened to crush anyone who tried. But we've learned and adapted. Now we know the places with good handicapped access bathrooms. Starbucks. Which airline makes things easiest? Southwest. Which cities have smooth curb cuts? San Francisco. And which movie theaters don't make us sit 4 feet from the screen? Anyone who's in love is living a charmed life. Especially if you've been in love for many years through good times and bad. I have been crazy about Linda since the first time I saw her. We always felt we could handle any challenge because we were facing it together. This time, we knew we had the will, but the demands were so exhausting. The change is so pervasive that sometimes we wondered how we would cope. This incredibly capable woman who loved to hike mountains, ride waves, and run marathons, who had cleared our backyard of 8-foot-high brambles and helped me move all our furniture to 3 houses, suddenly couldn't do any of those things ever again. Not long after getting home from the hospital, when we were having dinner by candlelight at our kitchen table, she burst into tears. "I don't know if I can do this for the rest of my life," she said. All I could say was, "We'll do it together." We began to think of what we could do to replace playing tennis, walking on the beach, working in the garden. Since Linda loves the ocean, a friend found a specially designed beach chair made of PVC tubing with wide inflated tires that allow it to be pushed across the sand. It's yellow and white with a big red umbrella. The first time I saw Linda sitting atop those tubes and under the red umbrella, I told her she looked like Ronald McDonald's homecoming queen. She laughed like crazy, then repeated it to everyone she knew. A few summers later, one of our three sons suggested that he and I get on either side of the chair, slide Linda off, carry her into the ocean, and drop her just beyond the waves so she could float calmly behind the crashing breakers. At first, we put her in a life preserver, but she tipped over and couldn't right herself. So we took it off, and to our surprise, she bobbed peacefully, looking once again like every other person lolling in the sea on a summer day. You know those great old stores on Newbury Street in Boston, with 5 or 6 steps up to each one? At first, we could get up only about 3 of those a day. Now we can do every single store, one right after the other, all day long. My arms and my back are stronger, so are Linda's. And there's a rhythm to our teamwork that's become second nature to us. We take many more drives now, preferably in our convertible, looking for pretty roads and funky hamburger places, especially 50s-style drive-ins where they bring the food to our car. But before the car moves an inch, Linda has to put on a seatbelt because even a semi-sudden stop at low speed will whap her face against the dashboard as if she's a spring-loaded bobblehead. She has no stomach muscles. Her body works only from the chest up. I remember the day we had to tell her that. She was in the ICU, tubes all over, machines and screens whirring and blinking, traces of dried blood in her hair. The doctor and I stood on either side of her bed. "Linda," he said, "this accident you were in was a rough one." "I can tell," she said, her words warped by the breathing tube. "At the moment, your legs do not move." She looked at him. "Will they?" "I doubt it." Her eyes shifted over to me. I squeezed her hand gently. After the doctor left, tears filled her eyes. "It was all too perfect," she said. "Wasn't it?" "And it did seem that way. It always had. My first glimpse of her was through the screen door of her house. I'd gone there to see her brother. She was 21 and I was 22. She looked adorable in her orange dress, and I thought, if that girl will have anything to do with me, that's it. We married soon after. We settled in Nashville, where I was an aspiring songwriter. A decade later, we were able to buy a summer house in a harbor in Rhode Island. That's where we were going when the accident happened. We had been traveling in 2 cars when something went wrong with mine, and we stopped in Knoxville at a repair shop. Linda was wearing a blue and white seersucker dress as she and our youngest son, Mac, who was 15, walked to her car. It was the last time I would ever see her walk. As they pulled away, she called out, "See you in a few hours," and blew a kiss. I blew one back. We planned to meet up later at a motel in Allentown. Have you ever come upon a traffic jam on the interstate and looked for an exit to try your luck on the back roads? That's what I did the night of Linda's accident. I drove right by my family without even knowing it. I bet I wasn't more than 100 feet away. It was late. I was impatient. Traffic was stopped in both directions. Finally, I managed to move to the shoulder and scoot along to an exit where I found an empty frontage road running parallel to the highway. Barely onto it, I saw a cluster of blinking blue lights in the distance. Wow, what happened? I wondered if Linda and Mac were already at the motel, or if they were also stuck in this jam. Then I thought, could they be in that accident? But wait, of course not. They were way ahead. A while later, I stopped at a diner where I found a payphone and dialed the motel. When I asked for the Martine room, the desk clerk said, "There's someone on the other line calling for Martine, too." "Who?" "Someone from the hospital in Hershey." "Can you connect me?" "No, but they gave me their number." I hung up and redialed, my face hot. The woman who answered identified herself as the hospital chaplain. She said my family had been in an accident. "Are they all right?" She put the doctor on, who told me that my son was okay. My wife, however, was a different story. I listened as he described her condition, then asked, "Can she think?" "Yeah. Her brain is fine." And that's when I knew we could do it, long before I had any idea what it was. Now, 15 years later, we do know. We know that most people, strangers anywhere, will knock themselves out to help us if we explain what we need. We know to say yes to nearly everything because there's probably a way to do it. We know there's happiness available every day, most of it requiring more effort than money. And effort seems like a small price to pay for a day at the beach, a trip to New York, or for dinner up 8 steps to a friend's home. A few months after the accident, Linda started driving again. Her car has hand controls. She thinks nothing of driving to visit her father 2 hours away by herself. She has rolled 3 marathons, yes, a full 26-plus miles in a racing wheelchair. And now, so long since that fateful night, the hopeless crush I have on my wife is as wonderfully out of control as when I first saw her more than 4 decades ago through the screen door. I still get excited after work when I pull in the driveway and know that I'll get to see the sexy, beautiful, funny person I live with. And later on, snuggle up to her in bed. We've rolled up and down the hills of Tuscany, squeezed into pubs in Ireland, explored narrow streets in Paris and Rome, gone to Red Sox games, had coffee in the sunshine in San Francisco, Portland, Chicago, and Miami. And we've learned that alongside great loss, we can still have a great life. At sunset, as we sit on the deck of our house in Rhode Island in our side-by-side chairs, mine Adirondack style, hers on wheels, we look across the water at Fisher's Island and think we are as lucky as 2 people can be. We don't know what will happen tomorrow or who will live how long, but we were young together. We struggled to make a life. We raised 3 great sons. We've each been the caregiver and the cared for, and I suspect that we each have a little more of both in our future. We are 2, but we are 1. And I love those numbers.
That's Nikolai Coster-Waldau reading Lang Martin Jr.'s essay, In a Charmed Life, A Road Less Traveled. Well, it's been more than 10 years since Lang's essay was published. We'll catch up with him after the break.
Hi, Hi, it's Samantha Shea from Wirecutter, the product recommendation service from the New York Times. We all know those people who are simply impossible to shop for. At Wirecutter, we have a huge collection of gift guides to help you find the perfect present. We test everything we recommend, from an ice cream subscription to a back massager to a trio of succulents. We believe there's a perfect gift for everyone, and Wirecutter can help you find it. Check out all our gift guides at nytimes.com/giftguides.
Lang Martin Jr. says that it took him 2 years to write his modern love essay.
When I first wrote it, I showed it to a friend. He said, Lang, you know, this is well written, it's beautifully done and everything, except for one thing. You have to tell me why it was hard. You can't just say it was. So that's when I put in things that were really difficult to talk about. And I just thought, it's probably interesting to people to know the underneath, because the obvious is you can't walk. So you can't walk, you figure it out. But you also can't reach a glass if it's on the second shelf. You also can't get a glass of water if you're in bed at night. So there are all of these other things that make the life complex.
Now, 25 years after Linda's accident, she and Lang still get through their days by leaning on each other.
My first thought in the morning is, apart from the practical things that I have to do, is, what can I do to help her have a great day and a great life? And I know that's what she thinks of for me. She's got infinitely more. Her life is so complicated. When she comes downstairs in the morning, she has already done so many hard things, like by 9 o'clock in the morning. And I'm the one who lives with her, so I'm the one who can possibly help her. And I know there's an infinite amount I cannot do for her that she has to do for herself. I think the hardest thing for Linda, she would say, is not being able to do things with her grandchildren, not being able to push them on the swing, go in the water, in the waves with them, easily walk them to wherever they're going, which could be like across grass if it's a soccer game or, by herself. If I'm there, she can. But she is so un-poor me. She has never said ever, why me or poor me. She's certainly said, as I have, I hope we can figure this out.
And in a lot of ways, they have figured things out.
There's nothing that we're not up for. 3 weeks ago, we were in New York, and we were there for 2 days. We just go, and we stop at a cafe, and we go in a bookstore. We went in a lot of museums. And by the time it was over, we had walked 304 blocks. We can't climb Mount Monadnock or Mount Washington or, Kilimanjaro or something like that. But we can do damn near anything else because we both want to. There's a line in the story where Linda says, it was all too perfect, wasn't it? And it really was, but crazily, it still is. I am still absolutely bonkers over her every day. So, okay, we've been married 54 years now, and I still drive in the driveway. I drive in there and I park and I think, I'm going to see her in 90 seconds. And it's just the best feeling. And it accelerates rather than dims, which is pretty wonderful.
That's Lang Martin Jr. He and his wife Linda live in Nashville. Lang has just published a memoir called Permission to Fly.
Hi, it's Samantha Shea from Wirecutter, the product recommendation service from the New York Times. We all know those people who are simply impossible to shop for. At Wirecutter, we have a huge collection of gift guides to help you find the perfect present. We test everything we recommend, from an ice cream subscription to a back massager to a trio of succulents. We believe there's a perfect gift for everyone, and Wirecutter can help you find it. Check out all our gift guides at nytimes.com/giftguides.
Here's Daniel Jones, editor of the Modern Love column for the New York Times.
There were two moments in this essay that just really grabbed me. One is this exchange they have when Lang first goes to the hospital and finds Linda there, and they realize the extent of what's happened. And she says, "It was all too perfect, wasn't it?" And I don't know what it was about that line that just got me. Like, you know, we all think that about our lives at some point, or at least I hope so, where you almost find it hard to enjoy your life because it feels really good at the moment and you're waiting for all that to come undone. That's just a line that just sort of struck me at the time and is the kind of line that can kind of make an essay. And the other part of this story that was just so gripping was the accident itself. You know, we all get stuck in traffic jams because of accidents, and you pass the scene and you're sort of horrified by it. That moment and the way he wrote about it just drives home that idea of these are people, you know, these are families, and these are changed lives forever. And finally, I loved how he has this sense, and they both have this sense of appreciation and of getting through it together, that it's not one of them or the other one, it's them together. That's what they signed up for, and that's what they're going to make the most of.
And here's Nikolai Coster-Waldau.
At the core, why I wanted to read this was I was really moved by the story. It's always such a balance when you have a story about something tragic happening, and then for that not to become either too technical or too sentimental. I think the writer found this beautiful balance. And I was very moved, and I was also uplifted because I've been with my wife for not 4 decades, but 2.5. And we haven't had any major accidents in our life. But life, you know, has its ups and downs. And there's just something wonderful about sharing a story, your story, with the person you love.
Thanks again to Nikolai for reading Lang's essay. Nikolai's been nominated for an Emmy for Best Supporting Actor in a Drama Series for his work in Game of Thrones. Modern Love is a production of The New York Times and WBUR, Boston's NPR station. It's produced, directed, and edited by Caitlin O'Keefe. Original scoring and sound design by Matt Reed. Iris Adler is our executive producer. Our intern is Shemi Aloko. Daniel Jones is the editor of Modern Love for The New York Times and advisor to the show. Special thanks to Julia Simon, Anya Stremian, and Mia Lee at The New York Times. The idea for the Modern Love podcast was conceived by Lisa Tobin. Additional music courtesy of APM. And if you love the podcast, rate or review us on Apple Podcasts or tell your friends to listen. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. See you next week.